Welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything radio show. And good morning, Jen.
And good afternoon, Chris.
Thank you. Indeed so. All right, so our assignment from yesterday. I would have what I want if only, dot, 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 record and listen.
Hmm.
All right. The plot thickens, huh?
The plot thickens.
Let's check in with our first caller here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? First caller? No. Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ren from South Florida.
Hey, Ren.
I'm so excited to be able to be live on the call because I have a holiday from work today.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, that's right. Back to school and the routine of the fall and all that. So, yeah, great that you could be with us.
So, I'm not sure if I have the wording correct, but what I was thinking about was my life would be easier if I stopped the projection. Like, I noticed that I'm doing a lot of, oh, I'm okay, but they want to control everything, those they people. And
those they people.
If only they could get that under control, then I could just be at peace. And then I go, oh, wait a minute. Who wants control? So
Oh, good question.
Right now.
Because it's so funny, isn't it? It's very obvious when we look at it, but not until we do, that, wait, everything that's going on for me, regardless of what the story is of how it's getting triggered, is an internal experience. So there's
right.
that, well, I am okay, but they, right? And then we start to look at, okay, well, they what? Well, I mean, what it comes back to is I don't like how I feel when they are that way or they do that or they whatever it is. And we realize, oh, it really is all an internal experience, which is so fabulous to see because then we have something to work with.
Yes, yes. And both going back to school and also it's lovely that my husband was away for a while and he's back, but I figured that awareness practice is a lot easier when you live by yourself.
You
see so many things as soon as you add one other person to the mix, you know, so it's exciting, but it's also like, okay, let me see myself in practice so I can, you know, really not lose everything that I've kind of learned practicing by myself. So I feel like it was a great introduction for me, you know, practice by yourself, and then, okay, here you go.
Yep.
Practice how it's really going to be.
Exactly, like up the ante a little bit. It reminds me of how we talk about, you know, the reason meditation is the foundation of practice is that as much as possible, all of the factors are stripped away. We're just sitting there. We're still. You know, the stimuli is minimized as much as possible. We're, you know, looking at a blank white wall, all of those things. And what we start to see is, all those processes are still happening. The minute, I've often heard Sherry say, the minute you literally stand up, that's all, just make that one change, just stand up, even to do walking meditation, you've added in a whole other set of factors. Okay, now do working meditation. Wow, now you've quadrupled the, right? And then walking to another human being. Now we're exponentially adding in the things that really add to what's going on. So what you're saying, which is that it really ups the stakes.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. And I'm thankful so much for the support of the Sangha. Just also, I just wanted to put in there, like, just a personal note, everyone that's been so generous sharing about their family situations and people getting older or people getting sick, it's just brought me to tears. I've been right with every one of them, and it's like really, really important right now. So,
and if I remember correctly, you've also added to that Sangha conversation that you've offered some of your own experiences with that, because I think you're having some workshops around that yourself.
Yes, lots of workshops with my parents and growing old. And everything that we encounter is not easy, but I don't think maybe Sherry would say something like, well, no one said it was going to be. So
exactly. Where did that expectation come from? And to me, that's another one of those places that can be a relief. To be easy, because somehow that takes the something wrong out of it.
Yes. And I've actually been giving myself some recordings to listen to about you don't have to fix it. Nothing wrong. Nothing to change.
Yes,
don't have,
exactly.
And that's like really, really very helpful for me. So thank you so much.
Yep. Bye. Take good care.
Okay. Bye. Bye. Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Ren. And Jen, a couple of things dropping in for me on that one. One was just in terms of distraction, like Ren was talking about, that every one of those if only statements is just that, looking to direct the attention towards content and to just take us out of our experience as much as it can. And
Yes, exactly. So kind of that monkey wrench image we were looking at a day or so ago of, oh gosh, you know, there's Ren just dropping into process. Well, we got to throw something in there. Well, if only... Yeah, we got to get it back on
content. Doing what they were doing,
Exactly. Right. I mean, that's so perfect, isn't it? Oh, shoot. Okay, so she's seeing that she's all right, exactly as she is. Okay, let's throw the they in there, those they people.
Those nondescript they people, and we can blame it on them. The other thing was control. I think Ren was looking at that just a little bit to start, that each one of these... if only statement seems like it's like ego saying something like, you know, I feel just a little bit out of control here. You know, I don't quite have the attention of the human in the way that I would really like it. And so, you know, feeling a little out of balance here. So we need to have one of these if only statements to really secure, again, to secure the attention to content rather than process.
That's so perfect because, let's see, I don't know if I can say what I saw when you said that, but so it's out of control. The voice feels out of control because it's losing control of its human. And so it's only statements in there, which is putting in front of us something we have no control over. Like those they people is a perfect example. Get me to turn my attention to something I have zero control over and suffer about that. Whereas when we have that shift and realize, as we were talking about with Ren, oh, wait, yes, maybe what's going on with them is triggering something, but what it's triggering is an internal experience, and that I actually do have influence over.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so the beginning part of that is I would be whatever, right? I would be okay if only, you know, I had something that isn't a part of what is.
Exactly. Oh, if only.
Yeah, if only, right. All right, very good. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? It's my phone wanting to be on the call here. Hold on.
Oh, I know exactly what that is. The screen jumps.
Hello?
Next caller, you are now live on the air.
Yeah, hi. This is Helga from Charleston.
Hey, Helga.
Hi, Helga.
Hi.
You folks do okay through the storm?
Yeah, there was nothing going on here. We actually left, but we just had a little drizzle. much to do about nothing, but you never know, so maybe it's better that way.
Well, it is, right? It's all the way. Like, you know, we all evacuate and get a drizzle, and then the place where it wasn't supposed to go and everyone is just kind of sitting at home, then that's where it,
Yeah, it's unpredictable. So,
yep.
And with the kids, it's better be safe than sorry. And we had a nice little vacation in Georgia. So.
Oh, there you go. See?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, we were fine. So yesterday and also today, you know, where the questions that what they made me think of was this whole process of blaming. I had a conversation with a friend of mine recently about that because I've noticed, you know, I take care of these children. They're now 8 and 11, but when I met them, they were 1 and 3, 3.5. Yeah. And right from the moment they basically could express themselves, whenever anything happened, I mean, they would, like, stumble and fall and hurt themselves. They would blame the next person that was standing there, whoever it was. And it was like this automatic thing that went on that just, like, amazed me because I didn't know where they actually learned that from.
That's
it's almost like, you know, it's like they almost came with that mechanism. And I, you know, I just thought of that. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know if that's, you know, that's an interpretation, obviously, but it felt like, you know, in, they couldn't handle the possibility that these things happen, you know, and that they can get hurt and that nobody is to blame. It just happens. It's
just
almost,
happened.
Easier, it's easier for that part, for some part of them to have somebody that they can put the responsibility on, you know, instead of... Instead of nothing, you know, and so
I do, You know, as you say that, Helga. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Well, just a quick, very quick story. I remember talking to my sister once. She was back in New England, and sort of the seventh huge snowstorm in the winter, and she's out there scraping her car, trying to get to work in the morning, and she heard a voice in her head say, "Someone has got to be held responsible for this." So there's that place of, it can't just be this way. It can't, you know, I can't just stumble and hurt my knee. And I mean, I'm going right to my own experience of that, Helga, as you're saying that. You know, I bump my elbow on something and there's like an anger response. As if someone has done something to me.
It's like the furniture or something.
And what's really fascinating about that is that if there, here's what I wonder about that is how often, if there is something in the proximity that even remotely could be blamed, it gets blamed and we believe it, right?
They totally believed it.
You know, so for us, like, darn it, I bumped my knee on the, and then looking for, you know, why did so-and-so not push the why do they always leave it out in the, you know, that conditioning to look for that place. It's just, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's just amazing how early that gets put in place, you know, and as I said, I don't know if we learn that, you know, from seeing others do it because, I mean, they were so young. Anyway, just observation.
It
just doesn't stop. You know, I mean, I know that for myself so well. I know that in relationships, that's exactly what happens over and over and over again. You know, I think about, you know, what Sherry said about, you know, growing up. I mean, that I think that is that place when we stop blaming.
Exactly.
And, boy, that's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do. And, you know, it's such a, as you lay that out, it's such a potentially freeing exploration, a place to explore and to practice and to train because, it, in my experience, it's not a fun place to live, to feel. I mean, basically what that process is I'm a victim. I'm a victim to whatever's going on, to you, to them, to whatever, and to the furniture. And it doesn't feel good. It's not sort of a forward here in my life, you know, loving what is, getting to accept the mirror, you know, getting to experience the miracle of life. And so it feels really worth examining that, looking at that, and practicing not having to have that orientation to realize things
yeah.
just are. And, you know, so there's a hurricane headed our way. Okay, well, we'll go to Georgia, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a victim to it, that the circumstances that are happening to us are not somebody's fault. They're not a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just looking at, you know, in my own life, like, I mean, really, all the anger that I carry is really from that place. You know, somebody has done
yeah.
something to me.
Exactly.
You know, the parents, whatever, you know, whatever
yeah.
the story is. So
exactly.
there's always that anger that's right, that comes right with it.
Yep, yep,
so, yeah.
yeah. And yeah. I think, you know, one of the great gifts of recording and listening is we don't have to not have those reactions. You know, we don't have to sort of skip, oh, okay, well,
right.
if I was really practicing, then I wouldn't feel that
right.
way.
Right.
We can have it.
Right.
We can go right through it and
right.
find out
right.
that doesn't mean I'm a victim. That doesn't, those two things don't have to be equated.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like, you know, it feels like it keeps that victim cycle going, because then I become the victim of my own anger.
Exactly.
You know.
Well put. Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah.
so true.
It just keeps on and
yeah.
on, yeah.
Keeps on and on. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Good. Well, thank you, Helga.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Take care. So happy. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks, Helga. And Jen, on that one, it really does seem that every one of these if-only statements is designed to get us to feel bad in some way. I think we were talking about that with someone a couple of days back.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so to get us to go to, you know, a negative emotion of one or the other, right? Shame, blame,
yep.
guilt, anger,
yep.
resentment, depression. And then from there, it really is the blame game. It's like, okay, you know, it's going to... what ego does is alternate between it's their fault and it's my fault. And
yeah, exactly. One of the jokes in my family, we had a family member who was particularly fond of blame. So the joke was, you know, anything would happen. And one of my siblings would often say, stand by for blame assessment.
Everybody knew,
you know,
it was
so
coming at that point, right?
Everybody knew it was coming. But,
yeah.
you know, that's such a great approach, that humor. And I just saw we could do that with ourselves, you know. So something, I bumped my elbow, and I could sort of laugh to myself, stand by for blame assessment, and just
yeah.
watch the voices. What are they gonna attach to? Because it underlines for me that it's not me. All that ram, that's going to go on in my head that I know is going to go on, it's not me. So
yeah.
I'm standing by
yeah.
and just watching to see what it's going to do. But it
perfect. Yeah. Essentially, in that, then I'm getting there before conditioning does, before ego
yes.
is in there with that assessment. And there's enough awareness to do that, right? As soon as something
yeah.
happens, I'm on it. I've been through that process enough times to know what's next. And then,
yeah.
like you say, I can get to that place of humor and just defuse the whole thing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Nice. All right, let's move along here. Next caller, you and I live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Chris and Jen. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey. One thing about these, what that struck me immediately with this series of if-onlys is that those two words are sort of the essence of the conditional.
Yes.
It just anything that follows, pretty much, it seems to be, okay, well, here's the conditional. I would be okay if. I would be happy
yeah.
if.
Yeah.
I've been, the way I've been kind of looking at them is that I and this is, I guess, sort of been talked about, but I tend to look at, I just do it from conditioning first and
mm-hmm.
Just let conditioning say whatever about it.
Oh, got it.
And then I practice looking at it from a more centered place. and asking the same question, which is interesting to do with these conditional statements. But, and you know, I mean, it's kind of the same list, you know, as far from conditioning. It's very similar. It has been at least very similar for me. The things that, you know, if they change, then supposedly my life would be the way, the right way, and the way I want it to be. And, you know, I'd be happy and the right person and, you know, everything else. But then, you know, the, you know, from what feels more like center, you know, it's something like I would be happy if I let go, you know, or I even have to change some of the words. You know, I am happy when I let go, when I'm happy when I let hear, I'm happy when I let go of if onlys.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. We were talking about that, I can't remember, a few days ago, but that really is it. That's the shift in the language. It's not if only, it's when. It's just a statement of my experience, my observation. When I let go, I'm doing great. You know, I get to be here. I get to enjoy life exactly as it is. I get to feel the pain of things that happen. I get to be in a human existence. I mean, so it's not the if only really is the trick, isn't it? If only I could let go. Because the implication is, you know, I can't. Well, maybe sometimes I can, but not all the time. And but when we change it to when I let go, it goes to me at least, it sort of puts it in the realm of, oh, right, that's a reminder to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I'm saying that, I'm usually having the experience.
Exactly. I'm going
so
in order to, yeah.
Yeah, and this may have been talked about too, but it is kind of like doing the two-handed, you know, looking at it. I think this was talked about, you know, doing it from conditioning first. I've actually done it the other way just to experiment. I occasionally do it the other way, do it from, you know, again, what feels more like center first. But usually I do it from conditioning first, and that's kind of like the, you know, the right hand of the two-handed recording. And then I get to say, okay, I got to look at that. I got to, I didn't just gloss over that. I got to say, yep, that is the stuff that often runs this human being. That's that's the stuff that I'm often operating from conditionally, you know, unconsciously. And that sometimes gets questioned, and sometimes I just forget to question it, and I'm going along and thinking, you know, unconsciously, that's what I think is true. And then I'm out there trying to make all that happen so that I can be happier or whatever. Sorry, what was that?
Well, no, I was just going to say, and it strikes me that, that's helpful because, you know, if I'm very familiar with the particular things that conditioning in my head tries to do to me, then I'm much more likely to catch it when it's happening.
Right. And then you know, the I usually do the, then what does it feel like if I ask that question from a more centered place? You know, then to get to drop into the moment usually and let go of all that stuff that I just looked at, which is, you know, which is, it's kind of more like, you know, the rest of the two-handed recording. Yeah. And then, and another thing about that for me is what's different about it is that it's not a for all time, you know, I'll be okay for all time, which is kind of the, you know, happily ever after story that conditioning wants to tell, that I'm looking, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that will make me happy forever after. But this is about, it's only ever about now. When I'm looking at it from the, you know, the more the unconditional place.
Yep. Yeah. Because the happily ever after is really just code for, and you will go unconscious and will have the energy back. But the other, truly, I'm here in this moment, and this moment is all there is. And we always say that, but you know, but that's actually true. Yeah.
Right. And yeah, and it's surprisingly, you know, all those other things don't need to change for me to be fine.
Absolutely.
You know, and even happy in many, many cases. So.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It really is, as you're describing it, it's a movement of expansion. It includes, you know, those small conditional answers. Yes, that is true, that I struggle with that. Yes, that does happen. Yes, that, and then we're stepping back into that much bigger unconditional place.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thank
Bye-bye.
You, Jeff. Yeah, I think we've got time for at least one more, Jen. So,
okay, great.
Let's move on to our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Germany.
Hey, Chris.
Hello. I just wanted to say also, I'm going to add standby for blame assessment to my list of favorite mantras. That is an incredible way to cut through conditioning.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I'm actually seeing, to tell you the truth, Chris, I've never really seen the internal possibility of it until
So this is the process I was looking at with this one was kind of how conditioning will just make this vague standard. For example, if I'm writing my thesis and I'm not mentally where conditioning says is 100% fit, then conditioning's answer is, oh, well, there's no point. Just give up.
Oh, exactly. Right. Right. I mean, you might as well just give up because you're not the absolute best in the universe, so.
And it happens on, like, a micro level, too. Like, there's the macro and the micro throughout the day kind of blah, blah in the background.
Just sort of not even realizing it, but just sort of a little tiny quiet campaign. Yeah, just give up. Just give up. Just give up. Just give up.
Oh, my gosh. And so many behaviors can come out of it. Like, well, you're a little sleepy, so go drink some coffee or something, which can really quickly turn into an anxiety party.
Oh, absolutely. Gosh, that's such a good point. Yeah. And just that little tiny pernicious you. Well, you're a little tired. Go drink some coffee. I mean, you know, we sound so paranoid when we talk about it, but it's like, it's creepy because it really is what happens. And what you realize is there's this conditioned system back there kind of pushing the human around through life. Now we're going to get him to go drink coffee. Now he's going to be anxious. Now we're going to get him to take something to stop the anxiety. Now we're going to...
And what I saw, I think kind of like Jeff was saying about how he answered also from center.
Yeah.
What dropped in from there was the total other way to look at this is the freshness of the unfolding moment.
That's a nice phrase. Yes. Yes.
And that is, it's just so different than the if only.
It's so different. It's so different. And you know what else it really does is that it gives us, well, it gives us the freshness of this present moment. And what it gives us is, what I just saw was, gosh, we could go back and keep answering these questions different times of day, different times of year, you know, and see whole other things about ourselves that were completely different than the first time that we answered the question, because it's this fresh moment.
Yeah, it's like a living question.
Yeah. Yes, it's like a living question. Instead of a belief about who I am, I'm this way, I'm not that way, and which I think is what people are referring to when they talk about, you know, okay, well, how would conditioning answer this? Well, I know who I am, and I know what I like and what I don't like and what I'm good at and what I'm bad at and what I need to improve and all of that. But when I look to the freshness of the present moment, I have no idea. I know, right now.
Exactly, and it makes me feel like the opposite of being limited into this black or white, like if you're not 100%, mm-hmm. you might as well quit. Instead, it points to potential or makes me kind of sense the potential again.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I can actually feel sort of a, I don't know what word I would use, maybe excitement, enthusiasm, because it's like this unfolding mystery, which it really is. I was listening to an author recently who was talking about, you know, the fact that we're not all in complete awe in every moment is from one perspective appalling, you know. This planet that somehow knows how to spin on its axis and move around in space and does it in cycles and particular patterns over and over and over. I mean, it's just astounding.
And that we're able to speak and understand each other. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right? And the things that grow, that we didn't, you know, we didn't create it. It just grows, you know, that bright orange thing. And somehow we figured out to eat it. I mean, it's just, you know, we could go on and on and on. Yeah. Very fun.
Yes, well, thank you for that.
Thank you. That freshness of the present moment, I'm going to carry that with me. Way more fun than blame assessment. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Jen, and thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Bye-bye, Chris.
And Jen, what a perfect redirect of the attention, huh, from the blame assessment, the impending blame assessment to the freshness of the moment and the awesomeness of what is.
Yeah, truly. That is the correct word of the word awesome. Yeah, the correct use of the word awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that brings us to the end of today's show. And so for tomorrow, I'm sorry, today's assignment.
For today.
Mm-hmm. Is I would be a better person if only. Record and listen.
All right. Plot thickens even more.
Indeed. All right.
Thanks, yeah. Chris.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.